Welcome to What's Up Bainbridge. I'm your host, Sonia Scare. Today I'm speaking with Fran Corton and Susan Loftus of Bainbridge Greenways Steering Committee and Leslie Snyder, City Council Liaison of the Sustainable Transportation Task Force. On March 16th, there will be a special 90-minute City Council session with guest Gil Penalosa to talk about the vision of making Bainbridge Island a truly bikeable and walkable city, and how other cities have developed sustainable transportation plans in their communities. Today, we'll talk about the sustainable transportation planning process and opportunities for the community to become involved. Welcome, Fran, Leslie, and Susan. Thanks for being with me today on the Zoom meeting.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Mm-hmm.
Leslie, can you tell us a little bit about the Sustainable Transportation Task Force? How did it get started? Give us a history.
Sure. So I guess a good place to start is that for years now, we've had what was called MTAC, which was an advisory committee with the city. And so there has been a huge amount done over the years with regards to planning for bicycle infrastructure. And at some point, we pulled together an infrastructure task force to talk about going for a levy to get some of to get a lot of this done. We'd been making some progress, but just hadn't been making the kind of important progress that we needed to make. And as many of you know, that levy in 2018 failed. And part of the criticism that we got for that was that people did not know, didn't understand what it was they would more or less get for their money. And so at the same time, we were having budget conversations as we do every couple of years. And as an outcome of that failure of the levy, all of us were interested in figuring out what the next steps could be. So we allocated some budget, a pretty decent amount of budget, for coming up with a plan. And that would answer people's questions about what they were buying into. And it would also be a way of getting people on the same page, so to speak, for why we were going for what we were going for. So we got the budget for it. That's a good first step. And then we put out to the public an RFP, and we got three amazing potential partners, and we picked Nelson Nygaard, and it's sort of moved forward from there with the pandemic giving us a nasty little pause, but we accommodated and pivoted and got back on board with a new way of doing things, as everybody has. And I'm very excited about where we are today.
That's excellent. Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about the plan itself. I understand that there are four main goals: climate mitigation, safety, equity, and shifts in the modes of transportation. Susan, can you tell us a little bit more about those goals?
Sure. So while these four, these are the four stated goals, the intent that connects all of these is really increased health and wellness of our community, our planet, and the individual citizens. And in reality, these goals all interrelate. The common thread is that we can't have a successful, sustainable transportation system without addressing the needs of all of our citizens. So our climate goal is the overarching goal for the sustainable transportation plan. And it's the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions by 90% by 2045. And while this sounds really bold, and some might be cynical that it's achievable, many other communities worldwide are aiming for these same climate goals. And beyond that, science tells us that it's required. I believe that we are psychologically in the same place with climate change as we were last March with COVID, when we knew it was a big deal, but it really took us a bit to get our heads around what we need to do about it and how boldly we need to respond. The safety goal refers to the safety of all of our citizens, not just those currently using a mode of travel. For example, our children have been left out of an ability to bike themselves anywhere because they have higher safety needs than an adult male biker. We want everyone to have options in their transportation choices, and not having them defined by lack of safety. than the equity goal. So across the US, the transportation needs of women, children, elderly, and lower income folk haven't been addressed equally. Transportation is the largest budget item for lower income folks. And since there are all these fixed costs with driving a single occupancy vehicle, and giving everyone appealing choices is the goal. Women make up only 24% of all bikers in the US, while places with really good infrastructure have 52% bike rates for women. And our goal is a 50-50 gender split. The elderly have often been left out of transportation planning in the US, and they can be really isolated without having good options. So we're really thinking creatively about addressing all of those needs. And lastly, regarding shifting in modes, the key issue here is that people really need good choices. And when they have safe and appealing choices, you'll find that people enjoy walking and biking. About 30% of people won't choose to bike regardless, and we're working on all kinds of creative solutions for them, like microtransit and shared mobility.
Well, I think of my own situation here on the south end of Bainbridge Island. I live just a mile or so from Lynnwood Center, and I often have to pause and decide whether I want to walk or bike to Lynnwood Center because it's not always safe. There is no shoulder for me to safely walk or ride my bicycle. So, you know, I kind of feel like it's so close. Why am I not walking? Why do I feel like I have to get in my car? So that's a really important point to make. People need to consider, you know, what are their options and how can we make it safe for everyone to get around the island?
Yes.
I understand that the task force held some educational sessions. What were some key lessons from those sessions? Fran, you want to take that question?
Yeah, sure. So Leslie gave a little background about how the city brought in a consultant, Nelson Nygaard, to help run this sustainable transportation planning process. And at the same time, the city formed a sustainable transportation task force. And this is about 20 people that are citizens of Bainbridge Island. And the task force was designed to bring in input from all kinds of people, those connected with the schools or the parks or an older person or a younger person. There's somebody from the high school on it. So that's the task force. And as they proceeded with their sessions discussing what was needed, what became clear is that people had very different backgrounds on sustainable transportation. So they developed a series of educational sessions to talk about what might we imagine happening on Bainbridge Island, partly based on what's happened elsewhere, and how would we get there? So there were four of these sessions, and they had national, international experts. One of them was Gil Penalosa, who will be with the council on March 16th. Another was Jennifer Dill, who is a national expert based in Portland. They had a guy from the Department of Energy, and they had a whole lot of video clips, for example, from the Netherlands and from Copenhagen, where you could see all kinds of people just doing all their ordinary trips on a bike or walking. So that kind of set up a sense of, wow, what is possible here? And then the question becomes, well, if you want to get there, what does it take? So a consistent refrain from all these experts was that a very significant portion of your population very likely wants to bike or walk. Just like Sonia, what you just said, you are an example of precisely what these experts are talking about. That somewhere around 60% would like to bike or walk, but does not feel safe enough to do it. So then the question becomes, well, if you want one of these big shifts, how would you get it? And the answer is what Susan spoke to, safety. People have to feel safe. They've got to have a path that goes from where they are to where they want to get. For example, a school or a shopping center or a grocery store or the ferry. And what it takes to give that feeling of safety is either a path that is not on a road at all, or a path that is on a road that is very low traffic and slow traffic, or if it's along a busy street, like Sonia, yours on Linwood Center Road, it needs a separate lane that has protection from cars. It needs a buffer, like a planter or a curb or something that makes the biker or walker feel that they are not going to get hit by a car. So those were some of the messages that the task force heard. They also heard about, they had a whole session on shared mobility. So Greg Donker talked about that. And shared mobility is where it becomes easy for people to use a shared vehicle or public transit. So, of course, mostly when we think about public transit, we think about bus routes. They're fixed. They have run on certain times. But Greg was talking about much more flexible arrangements, such as a circulating van. Or we have Bainbridge Island Rides, which you can call and it will come. You have to wait a long time. But it's a demand response system, and he's recommending we could really beef that up so it worked a whole lot better. So this was some of the range of options that people were looking at in these educational workshops to kind of spark their imagination about what we could achieve and what it would take to get there.
So who is Gil Penalosa, and why did the city council invite him to speak?
Well, Gil's an amazing guy. He is world renowned. He has advised more than 350 cities all around the world. And he spoke directly to Bainbridge Island. So this wasn't some recording. And I will tell you, he spoke to the Sustainable Transportation Task Force on February 12th. And I listened in on that. I am not on that task force. He is incredibly inspiring. And well, one of the things, he likes to talk a lot about biking and walking, but also transit. But the things that he emphasizes about biking and walking are these multiple benefits. So If your people can bike and walk, they're likely to be healthier. And it's a financial bargain because cars cost so much. And it's good for local business. People aren't zooming by your store. They're on their bike. They can easily stop. And of course, for kids, it gives them this freedom. They're not waiting for their parent to drive them to school. Right. So those are some of the things he talks about, and he will be engaging our city council and other people on this March 16th special study session. We'll have, I believe, people from the school board, Parks District, Land Trust, Parks Foundation, and he'll engage them in imagining Bainbridge as being a really bikeable, walkable place that exemplifies great sustainable transportation.
Wow, that's excellent. Leslie, can you tell us how that online event's going to go? If this is a study session, I understand that won't be like a participatory type of an event where people can ask questions, because it'll really be about the city council. Can you tell us how that's going to work? And I guess this is just one event in many that we'll see Bainbridge City Council bringing our community together around this plan.
Well, maybe. So I think that Fran did a very nice job of kind of giving the reasons for why we're pulling this together. You know, we wanted to invite these very important partners to sort of join us as we discuss the vision of the sustainable transportation, because it is going to take all of us working together to make some of these important strides forward. And what we've had representation from these groups in many of our meetings, but we wanted to get the actual policymakers, the board members involved, so that, you know, it wasn't just someone who was on our technical advisory committee, because that's incredibly important, but there's going to be, you know, big decision-making coming out of this over the years to come. And so this is a special study session. We are starting it early. That's important for people to understand that we're going to get going at 5 o'clock instead of six. So that's a change. And we are inviting all of these board members from the school board, the Parks Department, the Parks Foundation, and the Land Trust to join us as panelists. They'll be able to ask questions directly. And we're going to be starting the whole thing off with an overview by our public works director, who will talk about the program and talk about where we are in that process and then what we expect to get as an outcome. And then after that, we're going to have this inspirational interaction with Gil Penalosa, and he will be very much as he did the first time around, spending some time talking with us, and then we will have time to ask him questions, and then he will spend a little more time talking with us, and then we will be asking questions again. And then, if I'm not mistaken, I think we might have sort of another piece of a video to tie the whole thing up with, but some of those details have yet to be determined. So I'm not sure if I answered the question entirely, but I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Thank you. So we just have a few minutes left here. I have one more question. Susan, is there something people aren't asking you about this plan? Is there a message you have for our Bainbridge Island community?
Yeah, actually I do. I think Fran touched on some of the things that I'm really thinking about. And you know, that's that I think transportation is really a much more important topic than it first appears. I don't know if many people are like me. When I initially used to think about transportation, I think of, you know, little boys playing with their Tonka trucks or something. You know, it was just not a topic that I found interesting or having deep meaning. But the more I studied it, the more I really became convinced that it is the single most influential topic in our daily lives. And that's because it touches so many different other issues. It addresses, as you know, we talked about before, it addresses income inequality, healthcare, wellness, social isolation, particularly for our elderly. And it addresses the equity issues. You know, women's issues, children's issues, and lower income. And, you know, getting it right really does create vibrant communities and vibrant lives. You know, I also believe that awareness of the urgency to act boldly to address climate change is increasing dramatically. I think even since I began working on this in the last couple years, it seems like people have really begun to understand that we really do need to be acting urgently and boldly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, listeners who would like to attend the City Council session with Gil Penalosa on March 16th at 5 o'clock, can go to the City of Bainbridge Island webpage. We'll put a link in our BCB webpage to that event. It's going to be a presentation via Zoom. Thanks, ladies, for joining me today. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to our audience for listening to this episode of What's Up Bainbridge, which is brought to you by BCB, a community service of BARN.